In Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all and bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, Bible scholars note that these two parables about the kingdom of heaven would have really captured the attention of those listening in Jesus' day. For in that time and place, every village had stories about travelers who suddenly became rich by finding some hidden hoard that had been hastily concealed in the times of tumult and war. And how many of us, just exactly like those travelers, have searched in a myriad of fields to find our treasure, our pearl of purpose and peace? We have searched in jobs and careers, in books and intellectual pursuits, in other people and special relationships, in community, groups, and yes, sometimes in churches. But despite all the effort and time invested in searching outside of ourselves, the pearl is not there. In the book, 12 Powers in You, the Williamsons write, "The fertile field and the pearl of great price is not inside of you. The pearl is your true self, with a capital S, your spiritual self, that inner core of you. You are the pearl, and the field is fertile within you." Jesus taught time and time again that the kingdom of heaven is where? Within. The kingdom of heaven is within. That kingdom of all love, all power, and all potentiality. And as individualized expressions of God, our daily word addressed that today, as individualized and unique expressions of God, each one of us is a treasure trove. Our treasure is described by Paul as that mystery which has been hidden from the world and from generations, but is now revealed to his holy ones, Christ in you, your hope of glory. That happened to be Charles Fillmore's favorite Bible verse. And it was he who helped us understand that the treasure of the Christ expresses in us and through us as 12 inherent powers, 12 fundamental aspects of our divine nature. Here are all 12 of the powers, organized not in the order in which Jesus called his disciples that we usually see, but organized as a pneumatic device many of us can use to help remember them. Lip juice flows, okay? And so our powers are, all 12, our powers are love, imagination, power, judgment, understanding, zeal, elimination, faith, life, order, wisdom, and strength. Recently, we looked at the powers of wisdom and love together, and today we're going to explore another important power, the power of order. Mr. Fillmore writes in Mysteries of Genesis, "Order is the first law of the universe. Indeed, there could be no universe unless its various parts were kept in perfect harmony." Let's just consider for a moment the amazing order of the universe, of the earth. The sun rises and the sun sets. Spring follows winter. The night sky sparkles with beautiful constellations in perfect patterns. The acorn drops and an oak tree begins to form. And that perfect order of the natural realm is a manifestation of spiritual order, a divine intelligence that underlies all life. Even what might seem catastrophic, like floods and natural wildfires, can be nature's way of adjusting conditions for greater balance and long-term benefit for the environment. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. That same amazing order we see in nature is available for every one of us for the unfoldment of our lives. Our power of order is the power to establish harmony, to organize, balance, adjust, and evolve, all based on divine ideas and spiritual law. This power is represented by the disciple James, the son of Alphaeus. And the body location is the center of nerves right behind the navel. When we think about it, we know that the navel is that place where the umbilical cord acts as a control center for the developing fetus. And just like that, our power of order acts as a control system for our own growth, physically, mentally, and spiritually. There's the center right behind the navel. And in her book, Your God-Given Potential, Unfolding 12 Spiritual Powers, Winifred Hausman poses a compelling question. And here it is. She writes, why is it that humankind, the highest form of life, seems to have so much difficulty in establishing harmony, right relationships, and orderly growth, while the plants, animals, and birds go right along living as they're intended to live, doing what they're supposed to do? Do you ever think about that? And her answer is that while all life forms have a built-in intelligence that helps them adjust to their environment, we humans are also given the freedom of choice. That freedom of choice is a wonderful thing, and that freedom of choice can get us in trouble. That freedom of choice is part of divine order. As co-creators with God, we can think consciously and critically. We can make decisions, and we can determine the direction of our lives. And to manifest order, we align our thoughts, feelings, and actions with universal harmony. Now, before we go on, I'd like us to think about a term which I've already used once today. I heard three or four people using it out in the lobby before service. We use it all the time, but sometimes we misunderstand and misuse it. And that phrase is divine order. Sometimes people use that phrase, I've heard it used to mean divine predetermination. You know, that embedded theology about a master puppeteer God up in the sky pulling our strings in some predestined order. And this concept really limits us and leaves us feeling controlled, not empowered. The only kind of predestination that I personally believe in is a divine plan for our unlimited, ever unfolding good. Sometimes also the phrase divine order is used to describe something we call good in our lives. But when something happens that we don't like, we don't call it divine order, do we? We call it something else. Well, divine order truly exists all the time, even though we may not always see it. Paul Hesselbeck writes in Power Up, understood in a different and more empowering way, divine order is the orderly sequence of everything that comes into existence. It is sort of a trinity of mind, idea, and expression. And the Daily Word today was all about this, that creative process. In other words, we hold an idea in mind, maybe like cleaning out a closet or experiencing a healing, and then we co-create with the divine to bring that into manifestation. That's what the creative process is all about. God, divine mind, is not some superhuman being imposing order on us. Martella Whitsitt writes in Divine Audacity, God is order, that organizing principle that underlies all life. Divine order is not the correction of some unhappy condition, but it's an integrated arrangement of energy in a pattern, sequence, or method. God is essential oneness and universal intelligence. One with mind, we have access through that divine order to all that can be. We can catch hold of divine ideas, and we develop them and bring those ideas into expression by use of our spiritual powers. In other words, all of our spiritual powers work together. We use our power of order along with imagination, faith, and right judgment to discern what is important. Aligned in divine order, we order our lives by putting first things first. This is one of Stephen Covey's seven habits. Some of you may have studied his work. But long before Covey, Goethe said, "The thing which matters most must never be at the mercy of the things that matter least." And what should come first in our lives? Well, I'd like to tell you about a neighbor I once had named Joe. That wasn't his real name. That's his name I'm giving him today. Joe had a really large family living in a very small house, and he spent every single moment of his free time working in his yard. I mean to tell you, he seeded, he weeded, he fertilized, he trimmed, he cut, and he edged. From morning to night, he was out there. He planted flowers and monitored their growth religiously, making all the rest of us, you know, our yards look pretty shabby. He spent an unbelievable amount of time, and I can only presume money, on his project. I have to say, it did look like a miniature patch of the botanical gardens. However, his nine children never set foot in that yard. They had to play in the neighbor's yard because he did not want any bare spots in his masterpiece. And if one of the neighbors, well, actually, I would say he sat on his, if he wasn't working on his masterpiece, he sat on his tiny front porch drinking beer and screaming at all the neighbors whose dog might trespass his lawn. That was a cardinal sin to him. And one of the neighbors once said to me, "You know what? Seems to me like Joe takes better care of that yard than he does his marriage and his kids." And that is what it seemed like from all appearances. I will say that Joe seemed adamant about loading the entire family in his van and getting to church on every single Sunday morning for the early service. Every Sunday, I was awakened by his screaming, "Get your blankety-blank rear ends!" Only he did not say rear ends. "Get your blankety-blank rear ends out to this car this minute, or I'm going to come down and beat all of you down the stairs. No family of mine is going to be late to church." Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." And like all of us, it seemed that Joe had chosen what in his life to say yes to. In exercising our power of order along with our powers of love and judgment, we must understand that people come first, before lawns. I once worked in a school where the principal kept a beautifully decorated sign on his desk in calligraphy, and it read PBP. Anybody guess what that stands for? People before paperwork. And in today's age, I guess it would read PBT, people before technology, or even PBS, people before social media, right? Okay. Jesus gave us advice on priorities. He was very clear. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven." When we put God first, turning within to the Christ of our being, all the rest falls beautifully into place. So what matters? Well, I think that's for each of us to determine, but I'll share some things that I believe matter. I believe our own soul's growth matters. People matter. Caring for the earth and one another matters. Kindness and goodwill matter. Looking for the good in people and situations matters. Albert Einstein once said, "The belief that we exist separately from one another is an optical illusion. The Christ in me meets the Christ in you, and there is no other. We recognize our infinite connection to all people and all life. And when we are in Christ consciousness, we adjust our thinking and our lens to see order in all things, not just those things that we like or would want to happen in our lives." And I know, let's be real, we all encounter those situations where our first reaction is, "Why did this happen to me?" Or, "What in the world did I do to bring this on?" We all do that. But those are the wrong questions. Last Tuesday, before Bob and I were scheduled to leave on our trip on Thursday, I'd had a really busy day. I hadn't eaten very well, and honestly, self-care is part of order, and I know that, but I hadn't followed it that day. So by 9:30 p.m., I was not only hungry, I was exhausted. So I opened my cabinet and decided that I deserved a big bowl of Skinny Pop. So I got it out, sat down, and started chowing down. And within a couple seconds, I bit down and felt something crack in my mouth. Yes, and when I did this, it was a huge, and I mean huge, piece of tooth. I had bitten on a kernel, and a huge chunk had just fallen right out. And I couldn't believe the timing. I'm here to tell you, it did not seem divine at all. I had reserved that next day to pack and run errands and get ready for our trip. I had a planning and a board meeting that night. My dentist is a very busy person, and I just knew she would not have an opening the next morning. And I certainly had no time to have a tooth pulled. Well, of course, that why did this happen to me part was very easy in that case. It happened to me because I was stupid enough to bite down on a kernel. I get that. But again, it's the wrong question. So after some wallowing in human blame and shame, I adjusted my thinking and I just prayed, affirming divine order. Then I created a plan. Sequencing and planning is also part of divine order. First, I would set my alarm really early in the next morning, get a lot of packing done first. Then I would call the dentist at 8 a.m. when they opened. And would you believe when I called, the receptionist said, you know, it's the funniest thing. We just had our 8 o'clock person cancel. If you can get right over here right now, the dentist can see you. So I charged over. She was able to rebuild my tooth. It was amazing. I couldn't believe she could do it. It took well over an hour, about an hour and a half I was in the chair. But I decided that having my tooth fixed was much more of a priority than printing our boarding passes for the trip. That could hold. And I felt such immense gratitude and joy at the result of all that, having my tooth fixed. It just carried me through the rest of the day. The rest of the day just unfolded beautifully. And when we align ourselves in divine order, things do go more smoothly and effortlessly. And just for the record, we did get on the plane, although we were the last two human beings aboard, but that's okay. We didn't get to sit together, but we got to go to the same place together. And now, I realize that my tooth situation was not a major life challenge. But even when life issues are much more threatening than a broken tooth, we can always stop, breathe, and call upon the power of order. As Martella Witsit says, to adjust our thoughts, words, and actions to support our innate oneness, to claim that oneness no matter what's going on in the outer realm. And in this consciousness, we know there is no challenge on the outside greater than who we are on the inside. We affirm, and we can always affirm, I am in the flow of divine order. It's a beautiful affirmation. Say it with me right now. I am in the flow of divine order. Here we look beyond any seeming chaos to a greater reality, a greater order. And then we can ask, even in a serious life challenge, the important questions. What can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I use this for good? How can I use this to express God? After all, the power of order expresses as our ability to evolve in every way, every day, to grow spiritually. Jesus tells us in Mark 4:28, the earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. Hausman explains that Jesus is pointing here to the orderly growth that is our method for developing our God-given potential. It's all in order. We start our study of truth in an intellectual way, represented by the stalk. This is the beginning of inner growth. But do you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about wisdom, we said that Charles Fillmore cautioned that the intellect is not wise. Wisdom is not its office. So then eventually the spiritual ideas develop in our minds, they percolate, and we come to the point represented by the ear, the ripening fruit of prayer and meditation. Finally, we reach the fulfillment stage of the full grain, the expression of spirit through our whole nature, the point of oneness developed through each of our spiritual powers. We don't jump from the blade to the fullness of spiritual power overnight. Usually we don't. We grow there. And with our spiritual growth, as with all growth, it's rooted in order. And as we evolve spiritually, our focus moves from spirit and any limited condition to a sense of oneness with all that is. There is really no God and. There is no God and sickness. There is no God and limitation. There is no God and fear. There is no God and worry. There is no God and resentment. There is only God. Through our indwelling Christ, we claim our oneness and our wholeness. We know that that is the spiritual truth of us. And anytime we feel confusion or lack or worry, we can silently affirm all is in perfect divine order. We are one with the harmonious, continuous, forward movement of the universe. New Thought writer Michael Beckwith reminds us, there is a vibratory frequency with every turn of the earth. If you are the same as you were 360 days ago, you didn't stand still, you went backward. Think about that. You are constantly unfolding so that you can reveal the majesty and power of the divine. We are on this earth, after all, to express our divine potential, to grow, to evolve, to be all that we can imagine God to be. We are here to be the light of the world. Using our power of order, aligned with divine principle and spiritual law, we put God first, and we experience the love and freedom of Christ consciousness. We manifest balance, harmony, right timing, and spiritual growth. And moment by moment, choice by choice, thought by thought, we contribute to the harmony of the entire universe. And so it is. And let's just take a moment now to affirm that one power from which all order flows. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.